If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
I just want to provide value and serve people because I know what it's like to not be able to pay my bills on time. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be scared to death of not where my future is. I've been there. I've had those days where I don't want to open up the blinds in the morning. I've had those days where I don't want to get out of bed.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Welcome to part two of an interview I did with Darren Jacklin. For those of you that don't know who Darren is, go to DarrenJacklin.com to learn more about him. And this, as I said yesterday, this episode was just so good that we couldn't stop recording, but it was so long that it was way too long for a single day episode. So this is going to pick up right where yesterday's episode left off. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, I'd say go back one day and listen to that episode first, and then come back and listen to this one. Otherwise, you'll be right in the middle of a conversation and go, wait, this doesn't make any sense where this episode kicked off. So what we're going to do right now is actually just pick up right where we left off yesterday. So you won't hear the typical, hey, welcome to the show. We're actually just going to pick up right in the middle of yesterday's episode and wrap it up. So do stay tuned in. And again, if you didn't hear yesterday, go back and listen to it first and then come and listen to this episode. Thanks so much.
Because the more complex something is, the more it's going to be easier to get the return on investment, to get paid back. And that's why, like with cryptocurrency right now, I don't get involved with it because to me, it's a lot of speculation and it's a lot of, you know what I mean? And nobody can tell me how my money's protected. And I would never use active income to invest into a speculative investment. I'd only use passive income to invest into that opportunity. Never use active income. If you're doing anything speculative, anything that's a high risk investment, never use active or earned income to invest into it. Also, never use, you have to go in with the mindset that you're going to lose potentially 100% of the investment and it's not going to change or alter your lifestyle. A lot of people go in and they put money into something that they, if they lose it, it's going to have a direct impact in the quality of their life or their lifestyle. Whenever I invest in something, if it's a different higher level of risk, if I lose 100% of it, it's not going to change or alter my lifestyle.
Right, right. And those are things obviously that you do on the front end. You say, all right, look, this is probably the wrong word to use, but it's gambling money.
Yeah.
It is. Well, this is, you know, this is the risk we're taking on and we may walk away with absolutely nothing. So that's interesting how you categorize those different types of investments. And it's funny also, I think, how you have that green, red, yellow light kind of gut check. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many of us have, and I passed on a deal, this just, you know, to reiterate what you're saying, passed on a deal a couple of years ago. It was a very large deal and it made sense on paper and man, it looked great. And I was scared to death and I couldn't sleep. And not until I made that call to the guys I was investing with and said, hey guys, I'm out. I mean, as soon as I hung up the phone, I weighed like 500 pounds less. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel great. And I mean, not that I had some sort of, you know, a sense ahead of time, but the deal hasn't gone well. It did not survive COVID, you know, really coming out rosy. So that's interesting. I know we've gone a little long today. I would love to hear, you know, briefly how you guys have prepared, because I know we talked about this before we came on the recording, how you guys have prepared for 2020, really starting in 2017.
Yeah. So Tatiana and I, back in 2017, so we do a monthly financial meeting. We go through everything over the last 30 days. Then we do a quarterly balance sheet meeting, and then we do a year in review. And one of the things that we do is we always do a thing called scenario planning. It's very important to incorporate into your life, or if you're having a family meeting, is a scenario planning. We speculate in terms of just in case or what if, and we scenario plan on worst possible case scenarios. What could possibly go wrong in our investment of our portfolio of investments? What could probably go wrong in the marketplace or political election? We just speculate and do scenario planning. No different than if a pilot's in a flight simulator, they speculate worst case scenarios in their pilot training, right? So we speculate all that stuff in terms of scenario planning. So back in 2017, Tatiana and I started in our financial meetings. We started to prepare by getting liquid and having cash reserves and contingency plans, because we know based on history and being around our mentors and our life team that every 7 to 10 years, there's a market correction to some degree. And so back in 2017, we started to, just like a squirrel, we started to stockpile cash. And in 2018, 2019, we were divesting, we were doing things to get cash on the sidelines so that if there was a downturn that we could be liquid with cash to take advantage of the opportunities. We also bought a lot of MREs, meals ready to eat, which you can get online or you can buy in stores where their meals ready to eat, which was rationed food. So we always wanted to have a 6-month food supply. And we wanted to have a minimum of 1 to 2 years liquid cash to cover all of our personal professional expenses as an emergency fund. If you study some of the wealthiest families in the world, you'll discover they have 1 to 2 years liquid cash reserves for everything. You look at Microsoft and Apple, they have around 2 years liquid of cash reserves for all their employees that work within the company for their payrolls. So we wanted to make sure that we were well protected financially. And so what we do is through the scenario planning, you know, so 2020 for us was an incredible year for us. We bought a lot of real estate, Tatiana and I. We did really, really well financially. You know, in 2021, 2022, we're looking at mergers and acquisitions. We're going to start acquiring companies because of the ripple of impact from 2020 with COVID-19. There's a lot of small business owners that have been disrupted. Plus, there's a lot of baby boomers throughout North America internationally. These men and women are aging. And their children don't want their small mom and pop business that they've had for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years. So we're approaching some of these people throughout North America and having conversations about looking to acquire their companies and give them a nice, you know, 2 to 3 year or less exit strategy so they can exit and enjoy their quality life with their kids or do some hobbies or do some traveling or do some things that they've worked their butt off for years to do. And so the thing is 2020 was challenging for a lot of people. The thing is, how do you turn a crisis into an opportunity? It's a mindset, and it's who you surround yourself in your environment. So, you know, we call it the Saint Coronavirus because it was a Saint Corona. It was a blessing in disguise for many people who saw the opportunity. But unfortunately, you know, in North America, 78% of the United States and Canadian population live paycheck to paycheck. I've been there. You know, I've been there where there's not enough money at the end of the month. And so how do you break out of that cycle? And that's something we can do in another episode where I can show you how to break free from working a JOB, a job where you're living paycheck to paycheck. How do you break free from there? And then over the next couple of years, get your money right and then start moving towards financial freedom or financial independence.
Right. Now, that's interesting. Is that hard? I'll ask one more question here. Is that hard when you guys start going to cash, seeing that your cash is really doing nothing other than being dry powder?
Good point. It's a game we play. It's a mindset of mental toughness and focus to realize we're just playing a money game. And that's the key thing. What I've discovered is because otherwise we get stressed, right? Because so what you want to do is if you want to, let's say, for example, you're struggling right now financially and you want to get your money right, give yourself 2 years. I always say give yourself 2 years, 24 months to course correct and turn things around to start getting your money right. The first thing that people don't do is they don't pay. So if people look at when money comes into your bank account, I always ask people in terms of daily habits and daily routines, tell me what's the first thing you do when money comes into your account. Like, well, I don't know. So great. Well, let's pull up your statement and look, right? Let's look at your statement of your bank balance or your credit card statements. Let's look at your statement because let's look at your history. And the key thing is what people say, well, I got to pay my bills. Okay, great. So what's the company's names that you paid? So they list off all their cable companies, their landlord. They list off, you know, all these different places. So great. So do you know what's not on the list? You're like, what? And they go, you. You're the one that took the greatest risk. You're the one that got up early, went to bed late, did all the work, took all the risk, and yet you're not on this list of getting paid. You paid everybody else. You paid all those bills, but you didn't pay you. So what you're telling me is you actually don't value you. You're like, of course I value myself. Well, I know from experience that I didn't value myself. Because if you valued yourself, you would pay yourself first. Well, Darren, I don't have any money to pay myself. Well, let me ask you a question. If next month the federal government issued a federal state tax, they're going to tax your income 10%. You're going to get upset. You're going to be mad and all that stuff. But guess what? Over the next 30 days, you're going to calm down and you're going to adjust to it. You're going to find ways and get resourceful to make sure that you make ends meet and you pay that tax because you're going to be in compliance with the laws of the government. So effective immediately, Sam, I'm going to impose in the next 30 days an investment savings tax on your family household. And guess what? You're going to take a screenshot and you're going to text message or email me your deposit for $100 into your bank account. Well, Darren, I don't have the money to do that. Great. Let's cut off your cable television for a month. You're not watching it anyways. Well, I can't cut my cable. Let's cut off your Netflix account. You know, let's have one less meal a day. What do you mean one less meal? Well, you can release 20 pounds of weight. So let's have one less meal. You're eating pretty good because you're a little bit overweight. Let's have one less meal a day. You know, I was once homeless and I used to teach homeless people, if you have one less Coca-Cola, One less Diet Coca-Cola a day, you can have a little bit of change to start putting money away. See, it's not the amount, it's the habit. It's the habit. That's the mindset, is the habit. Is people say, well, I don't have any money. Okay, great, but we can develop a habit. And when you develop the habit and you're consistent with the habit, the results will change over a period of time. So it's all mindset of habit. So if you look at what I do during the waking hours of my day, it's all daily habits and daily routines. And that's what keeps me focused. That's what keeps me on track. That's what keeps me on course. That keeps me away from chasing shiny objects or getting into speculation and taking high risk ventures, because I have daily habits and daily routines. And I have a one page plan, which is my roadmap. And then I have scorecards and scoreboards that measure and track that. So I know if I'm effective or ineffective, if I'm on track or off track. Now, here's the key thing. A lot of people say, well, yeah, that's a lot of work to do that. Yeah, in the beginning, there's some heavy lifting. But I'll promise you, in the next 30, 60, 90 days, you incorporate this into your life. And after about 90 days, you'll adjust to it. You're like, man, this is like, I see people, Robert Kiyosaki and Kim Kiyosaki wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Sure.
They created a board game called Cashflow 101. You can play it online for free. Just go, you know, Cashflow 101 board game, Google it. You'll come up for free. You can play the online version. Or you can get the board game on Amazon or buy it at richdad.com. I think it's their website. And that game has the rat race and has the fast track. I lived for many years in that rat race. Now I live on the fast track. And I know what it's like to go around and around and around the rat race of living paycheck to paycheck. But if you start to incorporate daily habits and daily routines, which I don't mind sharing with people what I do, because I've spent over $1.2 million in the last 30 plus years through mentorship, coaching, training, development, traveling the world to study and be at the feet of some of the most influential people in the world who are masters at daily habits and daily routines. And I'll just share it with people. I just want to pay it forward and pass on, because I want, one of the things that I do is I competitively outgive people. People are go-getters. I'm a go-giver. I want to competitively outgive people in the world. And that's the key thing, is a mindset, is outgive. Like when I go to conferences, or, you know, like right now I'm doing some things online because of the COVID thing. When I'm on these conferences, if I have a chance to contribute, I outgive everybody in the group. I outgive. I'm always constantly outgiving. Sometimes I'll buy books. I'll give books away. Sometimes I'm giving recommendations just to provide value, to be a go-giver and to be in service through love and generosity and contribution. Because all we are is a network of conversations, and we're either memorable or for forgettable. See, most people, when you meet them, they're forgettable. I make sure I'm memorable, right? We're either attracting people or we're repelling people. When I was growing up, I used to repel people because my attitude, my energy, and my mindset. Now I attract people from around the world. That's why we can build and create a 250-year legacy plan for global philanthropy projects, because we're attracting people versus repelling people.
That's awesome. Darren, we could go all day. You have such high energy. I don't even want to interject anything here. I just want to see where you go as you keep talking. So
I just want to provide value and serve people, because I know what it's like to not be able to pay my bills on time. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be scared to death of not where my future is. I've been there. I've had those days where I don't want to open up the blinds in the morning. I've had those days where I don't want to get out of bed. I know what it's like to do that. I want to just love people and serve people, to empower people. And if it's not for those people, it's for their children. I'm fighting for your children. I'm fighting for the next generation to protect your children or your grandchildren.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I don't even know if we can ask the final four, because they're the same final four I always ask. But I think you've covered all of them in one way or another. But we'll just go for it and see what happens. Sure. If you were to give one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Build your life team around you. Don't do business deals. Don't do investment deals by yourself. I've made a lot of mistakes over the years. Always trust a woman's intuition. Always trust a woman's intuition. So powerful. If you look at my group of companies that I have today, they're run by women, right? Just women's intuition is so powerful. Have women on your team. Always ask them, what's your intuition tell you? And listen to what their intuition tells you. It is so accurate. It's so incredible. I get tears in my eyes because I tell you, I've lost a lot of money over the years by not listening to women's intuitions. Now, the last few years of my life, I listen to women's intuitions.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Where were you a few years ago? You could have saved me some heartache. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
You know, a daily routine of health and fitness is a key thing. Health and fitness. I also read, you know, I write out, I have a daily journal. I hand write things out. I write my personal promises. So I have, I'll just quickly show you here. So these are my top 10 personal promises to myself. So I have my personal promises. So I write out my personal promises to myself every morning, every nighttime. So a minimum of 730 times a year as a focus and a discipline. Why? Because I'm always present to where I'm going and what I'm committed to and get what I gave my word to.
That's fantastic.
You ask people today, ask people, hey, what are your top 10 goals or personal promises this year? And people say, well, I don't know. 9 out of 10 people, the number one answer is, I don't know. Then how do you know where you're going to go? What's your flight plan? How can I provide value to your life and contribute to your life if I don't know what you really want in your life?
Right. No, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Man, that's brilliant. I like the promises. You know, of course, I've got goals and it's all written out, but I don't have the personal promises. And I love what you've said about that, about what we promise to ourselves. And if we break our promise to ourselves, how that takes away our own even self-esteem.
And if you say a goal is out there. If I say, hey, Sam, what's your personal promises? Your personal promises are in your heart. They're personal to you. And what you give your word to, you will follow through on. So when you make a personal promise to not lie, cheat, or steal, you make a personal promise.
Sure.
So I always say, rather than call them goals, call them personal promises. What you give your word to, you're committed to the mission.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You talked about this already, but it's the same again. We're going through the final four, which is what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place. And I don't know if you want to recap kind of what you said before.
Yeah. So profit for purpose. So I love building financial wealth, profit for purpose. We can't take it with us when we die. So to me, it's about building successful companies for cash flow, for profit, and then using that profit for purpose. We've created a private family foundation called Link Foundation for Global Philanthropy, Tatiana and I, and we're actually going to create a for-profit arm that we're going to actually produce income-producing cash machines that will generate a lot of money. And that cash will then pay for the overhead and administration expenses for the nonprofit arm, which then will create generational legacy wealth for 250 years, three generations. So it's profit for purpose. So we, Tatiana and I, have already achieved a lot of financial success. So, you know, our passive income pays for our lifestyle, right? We've learned how to do that now. And so what we do now in our lives is we acquire more companies, we buy more real estate, we're passive investors or cash flow investors. And through that passive income, that cash flow then goes to support global philanthropy projects because that's our planetary assignment. Tech and I are selfish. We're using all these natural resources. We're consuming all these natural resources on the planet. So we want to give back and make it a fair means of exchange so it's always in balance. So we protect the planet and we take care of Mother Earth. But also, one thing I've discovered from my experience is if you empower entrepreneurs to become really, really successful, really, really financially successful, guess what they'll do? They'll take on solving big challenges and problems in the world.
Right.
Look at Elon Musk. Look at Sir Richard Branson. Look at Oprah Winfrey. Look at all these different people. I can go on lists and lists of people that are entrepreneurs that once they become financially successful and they go through some liquidity events or capital events, they then go out there and say, okay, my family's taken care of. My necessities of life, my expenses are taken care of. Now I want to serve the planet in a bigger way. That's what I love to empower people on and mentor people is, okay, let's get your money right. And once we get your money right over the next couple of years, then let's look at what your local community assignment is with where you live. Then your state or your province. Then look at nationally, internationally. Then let's look at astronomically, globally. What's your global vision?
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. Darren, I love that. And I look forward to doing this again sometime soon. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you know, you can Google my name or you can go to darrenjacklin.com. Or if you want, you can go to ugandachildren.com. UgandaChildren.com, which will then take you to our foundation website called link.org, LY2NK.org. And you can see all the stuff we're doing around the planet with global philanthropy. And if you want to be involved with some of our projects, we also we do a mentoring program. We don't charge you money. It's about a $100,000 program a year, training development program, where we actually have you contribute some volunteer time, a few hours a week. And we do it all virtually on Zoom. And we mentor and train you and put you into virtual teams. And we take on playing different games. And we train and develop you on what I've done in my life. And what Tatiana has done, and then we let you live it in your life and exchange. You're doing work with the foundation to make a difference in terms of creating a 250-year legacy plan and making a difference in terms of global philanthropy and humanitarian projects around the world, which we love to do.
That's awesome. Darren, thanks so much for your time today. It was great having you on and certainly appreciate it.
I'm grateful to be here, Sam. Thank you so much for allowing me to make a difference.
That is the end of a second episode with Darren Jacklin. If you didn't catch the first day, go back and listen to that one yesterday, and you'll catch the first half of this episode. So thanks so much for tuning in. And again, if you missed the first half of this, it went live yesterday. So look for that. Certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much. Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, That would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.